Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is anchor man, not anchor lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not married to sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kith. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not married to sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Meeting with Republicans and in this case Democrats because there's nothing political about national security. So we are working office by office throughout this process, advise and consent with senators, and we look forward to meeting with Senator Fetterman right now.
What do you plan on telling him? Because he's open.
We're going to have a great conversation.
So Pete Hegseth talking about meeting with both Republicans and Democrats in the Senate as he goes to try to earn the confirmation of the Senate to become the defense secretary in Donald Trump's cabinet. That will all happen after he's
inaugurated. All I can say is we've had a wonderful first week on the Hill meeting with so many great senators, almost 20 of them. It has been a humbling process to receive their advice during the consent and advice process, and I'm looking forward to continuing that during the confirmation process as I learn every day as I go. And I'm thrilled to be President Trump's nominee for the director of the FBI. And I'm very excited to see Senator Ted Cruz, who is one of the most brilliant constitutional minds we have.
So Kash Patel, the FBI director nominee, saying that he feels that they've had a very good first productive week on the Hill.
Listen,
here's Senator Coons.
Are you going to vote to confirm Marco Rubio as Secretary of State?
I may very well. I've known Senator Rubio for 14 years. We've served on the Foreign Relations Committee together. We've legislated together. We've traveled together. I was just talking with him yesterday. I have not had a formal interview with him yet. We haven't gone through the confirmation process yet. I will do that with every one of the nominees who's in the jurisdiction of the committees on which I serve and as many as I can. And I think that's just part of our job in the Senate, to meet with nominees, to ask them probing questions. And as was the case last time, where they are qualified, they have the right character, and I can support them in terms of what they intend to do with the agencies they're nominated to lead, I will vote for them.
So Senator Coons saying that he very well might vote for Marco Rubio. If that, I can't think of a reason why Marco Rubio shouldn't have 99 votes in the Senate.
No, he should sail through.
Well, his replacement won't be there until he's nominated, because he won't vacate the seat until he's been approved. So I suppose there are 99 votes for him to be able to win. But, like, ladies and gentlemen of the United States Senate, you're going to get a more diplomatic guy or girl appointed by Donald Trump than Marco Rubio? I mean, even there are even Republicans who think he's not conservative enough. I love him. I've loved him since he ran in the primary when he was little Marco to everybody. I was a huge Marco Rubio fan. I still think he's great. I know he still looks a little too swampy for people, but I think that those individuals who have just written Marco Rubio off from the beginning, you are leaning a little too heavy into your Donald Trump or nothing support that started in the 2016 primary. And you're not realizing that Donald Trump likes Marco Rubio now. Like, Marco Rubio is the nominee for Secretary of State in Donald Trump's cabinet. Marco Rubio has come a long way in the Trump sphere, and he has a lot to bring to the table. He's different than Donald Trump, but he is an asset to Donald Trump, and Trump knows that.
And this is a layup for Democrats. There's no reason they shouldn't vote for this nomination, because if they do have a problem with somebody else, they can say, look, I'm bipartisan. I voted for Marco Rubio, and he's the perfect person to do that.
Yeah, I can understand. I think it was, no, it was, I'm pretty sure it was Lloyd Austin. Two people didn't vote for him. One of them was Senator Mike Lee from Utah, and I don't remember who the other one was. No, I do. It was Josh Hawley. Two people didn't vote for Joe Biden's defense secretary, Lloyd Austin. All of those Republicans supported Biden's Lloyd Austin, and you're not going to get behind Pete Hegseth?
Right.
If you don't get behind Pete Hegseth, get the hell out of there, because you've completely missed the message.
I'd like to add no further comment.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Let's get to some of the stories that I missed.
What did I miss?
Well, it's funny that you're talking about that, because the very first clip that I have for What I Miss is John Fetterman talking about Donald Trump's nominees.
All I am saying is that Democrats or other people can freak out over anyone that was nominated, and I am not that guy. And I'm open to have a conversation for whoever especially really important ones. Like yesterday, I met with Representative Stefanik, and I was going to vote for her. And Rubio, another people. You know, there are people that we may agree on a lot of things or disagree on other things, but if these people are going to hold these kinds of offices, and we are in the business of working and getting along with people that disagree with some of the things we have, and we try to find the things that we can possibly agree on for the best possible outcomes.
So Fetterman, to me, is like the one Democrat that is just making good sense right now.
He is making me think that we are not in a simulation. What is John Fetterman? What is John Fetterman? That's the question.
Well, John Fetterman is a Democrat from a swing state. So he is leaning hard into the, well, I'm kind of in the middle. And he says a lot of things that you go, yeah, you know what? I can kind of get behind that. Problem with Fetterman is, he votes way left all the time. His voting record is...
When you think about the way he supported Israel, when you think about the way that he's spoke on issues to sway people, sway things from even potentially coming to the point where it has a vote. Like, if you crack the surface of the narrative, which is what the Democrats and the liberals are so incredibly good at, is holding everybody's feet to the fire. You do not divert from the message. We are in lockstep from that message. When somebody goes out and says, screw that, this is what I think, the whole thing comes crumbling down. And I think he's probably done that more than anybody in Washington, D.C. Republicans, they go and they fight over everything all the time. Like, Republicans, if you disagree, you speak up, you say so. You know, how many different factions in the Republican House can we come up with? The different people who have different sorts of positions on any particular thing or intra-party conversation. Fetterman is like completely his own man. There's no way he's... I saw people talking about, like, is he going to become a Republican? No possible way. But he could be an independent.
Yeah.
I wonder if he ends up like a Joe Manchin, because your point is very good. When you look at his voting record, it's in the middle of Democrats. Like, it's right there with all the other Democrats. But that doesn't account for how many times he's torpedoed things that never got to a vote because he went against the grain.
So much of what the liberal, far left, progressive wing of the Democrat Party has had success with is being the loudest, squeakiest wheel and daring anybody to say anything different. And Fetterman walks in his gym clothes and is like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And we're all like, well, yeah. Yeah, Fetterman.
Yeah, so the next clip that I pulled is actually a video clip. So if you're on the stream, you can watch it. But Daniel Penny did an interview with Judge Jeanine after being acquitted of, what was it, involuntary manslaughter. And I just thought it was great to hear from him in his own words.
I think he was acquitted from criminal negligence.
The manslaughter one was
actually the one that they couldn't come to agree on. And I hope that they can't press charges on. You ready to watch it?
Yep.
I mean, I'm not a confrontational person. I don't really extend myself. I think this type of thing is very uncomfortable. All this attention and limelight is very uncomfortable. And I would prefer without it. I didn't want any type of attention or praise, and I still don't. Mm-hmm. The guilt I would have felt if someone did get hurt, if he did do what he was threatening to do, would never be able to live with myself. And I'll take a million court appearances and people calling me names and people hating me just to keep one of those people from getting hurt.
Do you guys think that you could, can you relate to what he's saying there? That if you saw something like that on a subway or in public, where if you saw somebody being assaulted or being hurt or harmed or even threatened to be assaulted, could you live with yourself if you did nothing in that situation?
It'd be tough because every situation is different.
I was going to say, it really depends on the circumstances. Yeah. If you're a single male individual and you have military training to subdue somebody on a subway car, that's a lot different than me being on that same subway car with my children in tow. And thinking, if I go in on this, I think about this all the time. If I see people who need help and I have my kids in my car, my kids come first.
That's definitely a different situation. This is a different story because you definitely have to protect. That reminds me of a story my mom was telling me one time. She was working at a restaurant. She was working late nights. And after she got off work, she went to a gas station to get fuel. And while she's getting fuel, she noticed a man beating up either his girlfriend or his wife. And there's nothing that my mother could have done in that situation outside of calling 911.
Yeah, which you can do.
And that's what she did. She called 911 and she, you know, was observing from a safe distance, never got out of her car, was ready to get the girl and go if the girl ran away or something like that. But she said that was probably one of the most traumatic experiences of her life. And you've got to look at the situation and what you're in and know your capabilities and act accordingly.
What I hate is that from now on, I probably have. You see something questionable, the first question you ask is, where am I? That's the point of that case.
What do you mean?
Am I in a blue area? Am I in a red area? Like, am I going to be the person they come after here if I do something or not?
You hear the stories of those fathers who, like, go and single-handedly take out the person who sexually assaulted or raped their 12-year-old daughter. And Texas is like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And America's like, yeah.
Okay.
And in New York, you do something like this, and they hunt you down. And I mean, even one of the things that I've heard Judge Jeanine and Harris Faulkner talk a lot about in this case is, like, it took them, like, 10 or 12 days to arrest Penny. Penny, after the situation was complete and they were on the scene and everything. Daniel Penny was there answering, you know, I don't guess he was answering questions. He was there. He was present. He was totally cooperative. He didn't look at all like he felt like he had done something that was criminal. And then like a week and a half later, they're like, knock, knock, knock. We're going to arrest you for the murder of this person. It's interesting, too. Today, the news came out that J.D. Vance has invited Daniel Penny to be his personal guest at the Army-Navy game this weekend, which Donald Trump and J.D. Vance will be at. And I am going to be front and center on my couch to watch that. If you've never seen Donald Trump go to this event before, it is an amazing thing to observe. And when he's done it before, he has been the president. He went to a few sporting events as a campaigner, as somebody who was a candidate. But Daniel Penny has accepted they will be joining President Trump in his suite at the game. And J.D. Vance tweeted out, posted on X, Daniel's a good guy and New York's mob district attorney tried to ruin his life for having a backbone. I'm grateful he accepted my invitation and hope he's able to have fun and appreciate how much his fellow citizens admire his courage.
Just like Trump, the point of those cases isn't the verdict. It's the case itself. The fact that it exists, they've already made themselves a part of the conversation without the verdict being not guilty or guilty.
But I love what with J.D. Vance inviting him to this football game, we need to lionize these people. We need to, the people that step up and put their self and their well-being at risk for the sake of others need to be the people that we lift up in society, that we reward for that sort of behavior.
I also, I want to shower Daniel Penny with money from the country. I want him to become obscenely wealthy because Americans are saying thank you in the way that Americans often appreciate financially. We do not need Daniel Penny to be a household name. We do not need Daniel Penny to be... Now, if he wants to do this, that's different. But Daniel Penny doesn't need to be doing speeches at universities. Daniel Penny doesn't need to go and travel the country and talk about, you know, standing up for... He doesn't need to do that. We can't put upon Daniel Penny that he has to be some sort of culture warrior for us. And I think, and this is going to lead me to a conversation that I want to have here in the 2 o'clock hour about Caitlin Clark. We have a very bad habit. We are like beat dogs. In the last probably 15 years, where we've been told to keep our mouth shut for so long, if you're a conservative, if you're a Christian, if you're white, if you're male, if you're somebody who has loved, you know, the things that are America before, if you're those things, if you are heterosexual, if you're somebody who is what used to be considered the traditional standard issue American, because that's what was presented most, we went through a time where we highlighted culturally that, listen, everybody isn't like that. Not everybody is this testosterone, masculine laden, white Christian executive who, you know, has a 401k and a pension and all this stuff. Like, that's not everybody's existence. I think that's a worthy conversation. There are a lot of people who are not that person. I'm not. I'm a female. I'm a working female. I'm a working female who's not a teacher or a nurse. So I have a little bit of an outside of the normal traditional lane of what a female should do. And I know there are people who think maybe I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now because I'm a female. We get told to shut up and to sit down with our conservative or Republican or Christian or traditional views. We get told to sit down and shut up for so long that now that we've kind of said, we're done with that. We're not going to sit down and shut up anymore. I'm calling on every single person listening right now to stop appropriating our cause on people who are doing things in life that aren't predicated by having to have a cause. I don't even know what Daniel Penny's career choice is. I know he was in the Marines. Was he going to work? If he was going to work, what was he doing?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I have no idea. But when he got on the subway, was he leaving work? Was he going home? What was he going to do when he got off of the subway car? That was Daniel Penny's life before all of this happened. He should be able to have that life again if he wants, but with all of our give, send, go money. Do you know what I'm saying? He should not. Daniel Penny does not owe anybody to be the constant, consistent messenger for some cause that has been thrust upon him because he had courage in a moment when others probably wouldn't. And I'm really getting very agitated at the appropriation of cause warriors that our political sphere, like we're in the political sphere. I all I do is speak on causes that I care about. That's what you do, Ryan. That's what you do, Brad. That's why we're here, is we're supposed to talk about things. Daniel Penny's life was not intended for that. Mm-mm. And when you listen to him in that clip talking about, you know, wanting to be in the spotlight or the limelight, or he's like, that is not what I want or wanted. And we'll talk a little bit about that in 2 o'clock, the 2 o'clock hour. And I'm going to comment on the Caitlin Clark stuff that is all the rage. And it is making me mad.
I can't wait to hear.
All right. Well, you'll be here.
I'm just going to be sitting here with my headphones on, though. Mic off.
Professionally obligated.
Yeah. I'm going to go in my car.
When we come back, we're going to do a little next question. So you can send your Ask Us Anything questions to the Annie Fry YouTube live chat. We've got some coming in right now. We will start with the... Did Ethan say he can come in now, or does he need the 1 o'clock hour off? He needs the 1 o'clock hour off.
Yeah, he's going to come in too.
All right. Well, we'll hold the conversation about the best Christmas movie that we have listed on our YouTube live chat poll. Each of the four of us have picked our favorite movie, and we want to know from you, of our four, which is the best? Home Alone, A Christmas Story, Christmas Vacation, or It's a Wonderful Life? We'll be right back.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Next question. Question. It's a legitimate question.
Next question.
Next question, please.
Next question on the Annie Fry Show.
Well, this is your opportunity to come on here and ask us whatever you want to know about whatever it is. And it can be serious. It can be not serious. It can be downright ridiculous. And we sift through the questions that you send us, and we ask. And we also have a few of our own. So, Brad, why don't you kick
it? Yeah, so today is Friday the 13th, and that made me wonder... Do you or did you have any superstitions? I know, like, some of you, Annie, you played sports and stuff like that. So did you, Ryan.
Ryan,
did
you
play sports?
I did.
No,
okay,
just...
And you played hockey, too, so you have to have superstitions.
You didn't play hockey. You played hockey?
I played roller hockey.
Roller hockey.
With the girls?
No.
Ryan is a roller derby girl. Did you guys know that?
That would be
fun. His name there, also Rockmouth.
Right. Rockmouth. I actually did know a roller derby girl. And she was intense.
Was
Yeah, man.
The one I knew drove a school bus and had blue hair.
Yeah, the one I knew. Long time ago now, but
you don't
she
want
was,
to meet a roller derby girl and she looks like me. You want her to drive a school bus and have blue hair.
Blue hair.
Yeah, she was. She had everything that you could see pierced.
Oh wow! Yeah, that makes sense. That tracks.
Like, all right. What was it? What your question was? What was
it's Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th, yeah.
Did you have any superstitions or do you have any superstitions?
Gosh, I don't think I did.
I didn't.
I don't think I had any that were identifiable. I would be maybe a little superstitious about things like, I'll tell you where I got it more, was when I was golfing. When you're in like matches, especially when you're high school and stuff and there's a lot of pressure on you.
Man, chicken dance?
It was just little things that you do, you know, like little rituals that you do.
Yeah.
It's like when I was shooting a free throw, I would backspin the ball out, dribble, 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 shoot. But it's not superstitious.
That's a rhythm.
Yeah, it's just what I did.
Yeah.
So I didn't think that if I dribbled it twice that I would miss per se. I just did that and shot.
It's just every little thing, and I've grown out of it now. And maybe it's because there's not as much pressure on these things. Really, don't care as much.
Talk about how you don't change your underwear for the show.
No, thank you. I'm not going to talk. I told you I didn't want to talk about that.
But I did. Thought maybe the peer pressure would get you to change your underwear.
No, peer pressure doesn't work on me anymore.
Shows have been so great.
Where
days.
I was going here was that back then, there was even little things, Brad. You know, like okay, I get a little bit of mud on my ball. Should I leave that there because it'll make it fly a little bit, like, just little things.
No, you clean it off.
I know that specific question is a bad one.
Specific.
Were you superstitious?
Yeah. Yeah, there are certain things that I wouldn't do prior to a game. Like, if I knew I had a game that day, I wouldn't eat right before a game. And if the game didn't start until 8 o'clock, if I got off work or whatever, I wasn't going to eat until after the game. Nice. I always made sure that, like, whenever I went up to bat, I would adjust my gloves right before I went in. Left one foot out, didn't step in until
the work?
Yes, it worked. I always played better when I did it right, and if I ate before I played, I always felt like I wasn't going to throw up. But I always got better hits whenever I would follow my batting routine.
Well, this is something everybody wants to know. Bobo, who sends us about 30 questions, and we usually use most of them. Ryan, if you had to replace your hands with kitchen utensils, what would you pick?
Well, I think the obvious one is scissor hands, but I'm going to go with beater hands.
That like actually move, not the ones that you'd have to crank with the other hand, which would just be so disappointing.
No. We got to use the regular ones because otherwise you're getting into like Wolverine territory. You got to have a lot of apparatus going. I just want the regular ones where you can walk around just kind of like swirling.
I don't want scissors. Spatulas.
Yeah.
You could slap people. Slap a
spatula right, hands. Yeah.
I don't want anything sharp.
I don't really want to replace my hands.
Well, it's the only
thing. All right, you have to replace them.
Brad?
I was going to say a cleaver and a fork.
Good night.
But you might hurt yourself.
Yes. I might, but then I might not.
Well, next question. Bobo, you're fired. So am I for asking it.
Yeah.
Ryan?
If you go on a vacation to somebody somewhere you've never been, do you go on a tour, or do you see it all yourself?
If I'm going somewhere I've never been before,
mm-hmm.
do I go on a tour?
Yeah.
I have a good example for this story. When we went in 2019 to New York City for the first time, my husband went, and Katie, our producer at the time, went, and none of us had ever been to New York City before. And we had, I think, 3 nights, 4 days there. And we said, let's hardcore tourist this as much as we possibly can. Because it wasn't a whole lot of time. And I don't think that you can discover the intricacies, specifically of a place as big as New York City, on your own without making mistakes that we didn't have time for.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just do the double-decker bus tour. Let's go see the Statue of Liberty. Let's go stand in Times Square. Let's look at Broadway. We didn't go see a show. We ate pizza. I think we got a bagel. I mean, it was as touristy as you could possibly get, and I thought that was the right way to do it.
But you did it by doing an official tour.
Tours, yeah. Yes. Yeah, we went on a tour to Statue of Liberty.
Yeah,
we went
and they tell you stories and stuff, right? Or yes. They at least give you a little background.
I need to know, like, the super 100-level basic story of the city before I can go back and say, I want to know more about the this art thing. Industry yeah. or the sports industry or whatever. What about you, Brad?
I will not do a tour. I am a seat of my pants kind of guy when it comes to going on vacation, even if I haven't been there before. Now, I will do some research beforehand, but I don't like my vacations to be on rails. So I'm very much like, let's see what the day brings kind of guy. So
I think you waste time doing that. It depends on how long you have, though.
You can.
Well,
but
you can also freewheel it a little bit more. Mm-hmm, like if you see something that, oh, that's cool, you can kind of go off and do that. I used to do, I asked this question for this reason. I used to do exactly what you're talking about. But the last couple times I've been somewhere, I've taken a tour. And I thought, this was great. This was the best way to do it because it's so efficient. And if you can go on a bad tour where the tour guide doesn't really tell you stories. But if they get a good one that tells you the stories, give you a little history, it's really good.
I'll add into that Washington, D.C. I'd never been to Washington, D.C. before 2024. I went at the beginning of May, I think it was, with my son's 8th grade class, which is just one 3-day long tour. Everything is managed. And I loved that because the tour guide, they have all of this knowledge. If you get, especially when that's experienced, they absorb a lot of knowledge. So I went and did that. But then we went back because my husband had never been before. We went back to watch the Cardinals Nationals series right on July 4th. And so then we just freewheeled everything. But I kind of served as the, I remember the tour guide said this. And I remember, so I kind of replicated the free version of the tour thing for my husband. Now he is going to go back next year, I assume, with my daughter in her 8th grade class and do the tour thing. But there definitely was much more that I gleaned out of the tour version of Washington, D.C. because it's just saturated with history.
Absolutely.
There's so much there. I want to ask this question. All right, Bobo, redeem yourself. If you could make a minor inconvenience illegal, what would it be? I'll go first. people who stop walking abruptly in the middle of a crowded area.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Now, that's a good one. But I unequivocally, undoubtedly, would ban gum chewing forever. Gum should not exist. And if I could find a way to get that in Trump's platform, I would.
Man, I have to agree with him here. The first thing I would like to do is just outlaw. It's not just people stopping in the middle of a crowded area. It's people who have no awareness of anything going on around them at any given time in a crowd. Because there is a way. We've been to parks, theme parks, man. That's a great place to show this. If there is a flow to traffic, and you decide, I think I'm going to stop right here and take a bite of my corn dog.
Or get the thing that the people do is stop and they do something on their phone. Head or down, that, stop in the middle, and they're on their phone, and it's like, you can't move to the side.
And grace for people who have kids who are managing a bunch of people, and you got to stop for a second. I got to make sure I got everybody. That happens. But if you are just selfishly not considering your surroundings, that drives me nuts.
Yeah, that I'm with you on that.
I bet Brad's has something to do with driving.
No, the caveat would be it's the, almost the exact same thing as Ryan, but walking the opposite direction as the flow of people in the middle of that
like
flow.
Like the Europeans?
Oh, man. It was hard in Japan because it's the opposite. So you get so used to going down the right side, and you would be going down the left side the whole time.
Yeah, but there's people that like to do that just to inconvenience you or to stir the pot or whatever, and I would make that illegal.
Let's take a quick break. We've got some more questions to ask here. Your questions continue to come in. We are monitoring the story that KMOX is reporting on this as well, and we're going to get the details of the press conference regarding the charges that have been filed in the murder of Colin Brown, the hockey player, who's driving home from hockey and was gunned down in this ridiculously unsafe city. The report says that 26-year-old Garrett Jordan has been charged with his murder. So we're going to give you the details on that in the 2 o'clock hour when the press conference is over. So stick around for that news information. Very good to find out that they have somebody to charge. We'll find out those details and deliver them to you as we get them. More Ask Us Anything next question next here on The Annie Fry Show. Welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. We've been doing a little next question, Ask Us Anything. And if you want to participate, get on the YouTube live chat poll and drop your questions in there. In the 2 o'clock hour, I am going to talk about two very important things. The Caitlin Clark drama that's coming out since she's been named the Time Athlete of the Year, the discussion that's being had around Caitlin Clark. We'll discuss that in the 2 o'clock hour, and also whether or not President Thomas Whitmore from Independence Day was a Republican or a Democrat.
Ooh, can't wait.
In no particular order, but obviously the order of importance.
Okay.
Next question. Brad, how about you go first?
Yeah, I'm going to set this one up. All right.
Oh, so, here we go, Ryan.
All right. No, notes. I think I know this one.
Yeah. You loan a friend $500 with the understanding that friend is going to use said $500 for gambling. That friend gambles the money, and then of that gambling, they win $40,000.
Are these important numbers?
Nope.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
They're random, but it's a real hypothetical.
Yeah. How much of that money should your friend pay you?
$500.
You said the loan was $500?
Yeah.
And they won $40,000?
If you loan somebody $500 and you know they're going to gamble it and you don't stipulate beforehand what happens after the fact, you get $500 back if you're lucky.
That was my biggest concern, was that you didn't say ahead of time, look, if you win this much, I'm giving you this loan with the expectation that
10%.
If you win, I get X amount.
Yeah.
That seems like a very logical thing to do. Obviously. And if you don't do it, you just screwed up.
So here's the thing, though. I don't loan that $500 without explaining to them that I am assuming the financial risk of this endeavor, and therefore I will get...
What do you mean you're assuming the financial risk?
I'm the only one with money in the game. If he loses the $500, I'm out the $500.
Yeah, but if he's got skill and he's gambling...
Fair enough.
Then that's a
fair enough, but if he loses that money, even though he's got the skill, he's out nothing. He just loses the money.
No, that's not true. You loan him $500. He owes you $500.
You gotta pay you back because it's a loan. It's not a gift.
I still think that I get the biggest share of the money because it was my money and I assumed the financial risk.
I like the way he thinks.
Yeah, good luck. Now, you can't... Maybe you don't mean loan. Maybe you mean invest.
Okay, let's say invest then.
Then you have to stipulate that you... If you provide 50%... If you provide $500, why aren't you gambling it?
Why aren't I gambling it?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I add something to this scenario? Because this is the way I pictured this scenario playing out.
Yeah, mustard.
Two people are drunk in Vegas at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, so and one of them goes, good loans start.
Oh, man, I'm totally out, but can you give me 500, man? I got a real good feeling. And you go, oh,
yeah,
man,
it's
of
alcohol,
course
it's
I can. Yeah, like, in no other circumstance would you ever do that. But in this one, you would. And you didn't think ahead of time to come up with any terms. That's kind of where you're coming at it, right? Is that you didn't...
Sure.
All that's kind of baked into the cake. This has already happened. What do you expect to get back?
Yeah.
A lost friendship, because you're never going to agree on that. Yeah. If you're loaning... In your situation, in your scenario, if you're drunkenly in the middle of the night in Vegas loaning $500 out with, like... objective expectations on the other side, you're dumb.
Yes, you are.
So that's a no.
So,
but if it's a loan, if you're loaning $500, it doesn't matter what they're doing with it. If you don't stipulate you're going to get, I want 50% of the win. Or like I was saying before Ryan interjected his drunken Vegas wrinkle
scenario
to the story, why aren't you the one gambling it?
Well, maybe I'm not good at gambling.
Well, then you are hoping on the gambler who is good at gambling or good at playing poker or whatever. You're hoping, you're using their skill, which is a value to the equation, to increase your investment. Then you need to call it an investment and you need to stipulate ahead of time. If you do, if you hand $500 over as a loan, you get $500 back.
You're lucky if you get $500 back
for
it's
sure
to the guy who's going to go take it to the table.
If you're loaning it to the guy who's so good at gambling that he doesn't have $500 to invest in his own gambling, like, red flags everywhere. You are lucky to get the $500
Listen,
back.
Listen, you guys know me. I've just had a really bad night. Got,
listen, we're going to play poker. I'm going
to
hit.
Really good. I'm going to hit this. I got a good feeling. To answer your question just on the surface, after I add my drunken 2 a.m. Scenario to it, I would say I would expect $5,000 back. Not half, but double, like 10 times.
That's what you would expect or appreciate?
That's what I would. Good question. I would appreciate that. And if they came, if they were around that a few $1,000, I'd be like, all right, that's cool. And I guess I win.
Any other thoughts on that?
My thoughts are this: is it's,
did you
it's,
do this?
No, I didn't do this. I actually saw this online.
Did you have a friend who?
I saw
this
argument happening online.
No,
My thoughts are: is like it's like a business. I invest in the company. I pour my money and my resources in there, and I don't have the skill to make the product, but I know that you do.
But
so you make
investment.
The product.
That's
yeah.
not a loan.
But
and
it's an
you would have figured out the terms ahead of time if it was.
Oh,
business.
For sure.
Yeah. So. I think it's totally fair to say, yeah, I'll invest $500 in your skill to play poker, and I want 50% of your winnings. And if you lose, I lose too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
all
that,
of these.
That's the investment. And with the investment, there's going to be a risk there that you're going to lose your $500. Mm-hmm. If it's a loan, you could chase them down for your $500 until there's no one to chase down anymore.
Right. Okay. This is all why none of us have been in this scenario.
I want to play in a poker tournament so bad.
Do you?
Yes.
I would invest $500.
You're not investing. I'm not taking your $500 to play.
He'll invest $500. He gets 50%.
No. Other I want 70.
And I get the other 50.
You're
going to
give me $500, and if I win, you want 70% back?
70%
back. I'll use my own $500 and keep 100%.
I'll do it for 60%. No?
Did you hear what I said? Your negotiating skills are fantastic. Ryan, question? Next question?
If you're reading a book, ebook or physical copy?
Or the grocery list.
I mean, whichever.
It could be whatever.
Whichever. No, real question, though. Do you like reading ebooks better than real books?
Neither. I do Audible books.
You listen. So it's kind of a digital version.
I see your question and raise you a question. Can I say I read a book when I listened to it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. Gosh, I don't know. Now that I say it, I'm like, I don't know. Because you're still getting the information, but you didn't physically read the book.
And does, like, to me, there is a snottiness involved in being like, well, you didn't read it.
And you can't. Yes.
Implying that I couldn't.
Right.
Which
well,
is partially faster. True. Because I can't hang, it, I can't have my attention span in the nose of a book without falling asleep or having people ask me to take them to go potty. So I can listen in the car to and from or while I'm going to sleep or something like that. I can listen way more successfully than holding a book in front of me, pretending like I'm going to have more than 2 consecutive minutes to do that.
Oh, you can't read a book while you drive, huh?
I haven't tried.
Oh, gosh.
So I've seen people do that. I've seen people highlighting papers on their steering wheel, driving 75 miles an hour down 55-70.
That's awful. I need a paper book. I like the paper. The flip. I can't do the electronic copy. I can listen to a book, and I consider that reading because you're intaking the information, and it's a book. It's just, you know, what we say whenever you take in the information from a book. You read a book. So, but yeah, paper book.
I still prefer a paper copy just because I like it. It's traditional. But man, is it more convenient to be able to just download books. You can get them from the library now for nothing. You know, you just download the book to your phone.
Scoot wants to know, in our next question, will President Xi accept the invitation to attend the inaugural?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'm a no on that as well.
No way. Why would he do that?
That's such a weird invitation. He's
a
flex.
No, it's a baller move that he's trying to do because he knows that she will not say yes. If he did, I'd be nervous.
Boy, that wouldn't that be weird if he did show up though? Ah, I don't know. It's a weird.
If he showed up, that would signal such a vote of confidence in America. Why would China want to do that?
Would it though? Is that what that would signify?
What else would what other option would there be? If President Trump is taking the oath of office and President Xi is in the background?
I'm not saying he's going to. I said no to this question. But the only reason I could see him doing it is that he's saying, basically, he's important. These are important world events, and he's there for them.
Well, yeah, but it's saying that Donald Trump is important, not me.
I don't know if it's saying that. I think it's just...
It's like going to another king's crowning. You're offering fealty to said king.
Mm. I don't think he's going to show up, so it's a moot point, but...
Moo.
Man, what I want to do right now.
Don't do it.
I'm
don't
not
do
going
it.
To.
Don't. Here, hold this letter. Hold this letter.
Because we're trying to clean
things
up.
Hold this letter from an angry listener.
I will.
And
I will.
There you go.
All right.
It's right next to you. Did you have another question or you tapped?
Yeah, this one's just real simple. What is your favorite breakfast food?
I will add to that one of the listener questions is, what's your favorite way to eat eggs? Because you can eat eggs in a bazillion different ways. My favorite breakfast, I mean, what I eat every single morning is a Greek yogurt with chia seeds and a non-fat, sugar-free vanilla latte from Scooters.
Yeah, does the coffee part count? Because that's my
choice. I consider it because it's protein.
Okay.
Greek yogurt is what I eat every single morning. I don't know that it's my favorite, though. Like, my husband makes crepes. Have you ever had crepes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Savory or sweet?
Sweet.
Yeah, okay.
Butter and syrup.
Okay.
Just, like, straight up. No, nothing fancy. Okay. No fruit or anything. I don't like fruit on pancakes and waffles and stuff like that. I don't want that.
What about Nutella?
No.
Oh, man. That's a new, bold man. New world you're going to have to enter.
I think waffles are the best breakfast food. I'm going to go with waffles.
I really, really, really like, and it's so lame. I love McDonald's sausage biscuits, like the basic, not the McGriddles.
Put jelly on them?
No, nothing. It's just a sausage biscuit, as base level as it gets.
I think Hardee's has the best biscuits.
Oh, agree.
They probably do.
Agree.
I should.
And I'm not talking like the raisin biscuit things that they sell right now. I'm just talking like the biscuit that comes with the sandwich or something like that. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, a big Belgian waffle, I'm not going to fight against you. Those are really good. And crepes are good. But on a daily basis, sausage biscuit.
Biscuits and gravy is probably my favorite.
Jared makes great.
I like a savory breakfast, and that does it. Especially if like you can get some eggs. Eggs over easy. Oh, yeah.
Sunny side up.
Sunny side up.
That's how you. Is that how you eat it?
Yeah.
Do you dip your toast in it?
I will, although I'll get them over easy, over medium sometimes, too.
Dip your toast in it, dip your pancakes in it, dip your English muffin in it. That's to be able to sit down. I mean, that's like something you have to sit down to eat.
Yeah.
That's a good, enjoyable
luxurious.
Thing. It is. It's fancy.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, we are going to talk about the Caitlin Clark drama that is taking the internet by storm once again. If Caitlin Clark's not being talked about, does she even exist? I don't even know. And was President Whitmore from Independence Day a Republican or a Democrat? Next. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.